Our scripture passage this morning is found in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, which is found on page 1 in your pew Bibles. As we get prepared to read the word of the Lord, let's have a word of prayer together. Well, Lord Jesus, we come to you in prayer this morning and we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to what your word has to teach us. Guide us, Lord. Refresh us. Rejuvenate us. Make us new. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. How many of us here this morning like new beginnings? I want us to think about that. You know, a new beginning is like a fresh start or a new day. How many of us like to start fresh or the beginning of a new day? How many of us like new stuff? New stuff like a new car, a new pickup, or new shoes, or maybe a new outfit, or maybe a new toy right out of the box at Christmas. I think in general, we all like new things, new stuff. We like fresh starts. I know I'm a morning person. I know not everybody is, but I'm absolutely a morning person. I like to wake up in the morning, and I'm ready for the day, and I have a smile on my face, and I know that's not true for every person. Some of us don't really get excited in the morning and we're really grumpy until a certain point of the day. But some of us here know what I'm talking about. That newness, that new crisp. I love walking outside in the morning and feeling that crisp air, that cool air. Have any of you enjoyed that recently? Yeah, it's just, it makes me feel rejuvenated when I walk outside. It makes my wife feel cold. And so I always go for a walk with her each day, and I ask her if she wants to walk in the morning outside, and she always says no. But I get excited about that crisp feeling of that new beginning of each and every day. And for me, and this is true for all of us, we may have some plans about days, what we're going to do day in and day out, but really each new day is an adventure, isn't it? We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We have plans. We know we got to get up and go to work. But every day, if we think about it, is an adventure. Because we don't know exactly how each day is going to play out. And I get excited when I think about that kind of thing. That every day starts new, starts fresh. It's a beginning. It's an opportunity. You know, God has been giving people opportunities since the beginning of time. That's why I picked Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 for our scripture passage this morning on this day that we are celebrating the beginning of Sunday school and also family night and opportunities that we have to do life together and live life together as a church. Because God is a God of new beginnings, new starts. Our passage tells us, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. That's such an important thing. That is such a foundational moment within Scripture. I want us to kind of ingrain that in our minds this morning. Because the passage goes on to tell us, God took what was formless and void, and he made the earth. God created everything that there is. Animals, plants, light, everything. God created all that there is and all that there ever will be. He made the universe, which is made up of solar systems and galaxies and stars. And we see it all, and it's beautiful. And over the centuries, people have wondered as they've gazed up into the heavens, or they've looked at a majestic mountain, or they've looked around at the world in which they live, and they see the beauty that exists. And they've wondered, where did all of this come from? How did it all begin? Have you ever wondered that? On some of your best days? Have you ever experienced the beauty, the natural beauty of something in this world and wondered, where did it all come from? How did it all begin? And been blessed by that experience? I know that's happened to me a number of times in my life. I've gotten excited about the world that God has created, the beauty that I have been able to witness and see. And I could tell with our group that went to Alaska from our church on that mission project that there was some of that going on in their hearts as they went to this place that many of them had never been before, and they saw the beauty that God created and the majesty of the mountains in that particular place, and it had an impression on them. God has made some beautiful, wonderful things for us to enjoy in the world in which we live. And God created all of them. And as we wonder about that question, where did it all come from? We know the answer as Christians. It came from God, from His loving heart and from His being. He created all things that there are. Now, of course, our world tries to have an answer. Society tries to have an answer. And they say it all happened by accident. That there was this big bang, and then everything, kind of swirling gases, came and formed us and formed everything around us. I don't know about you, but I think it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that some swirling gases somehow came together and made all of the things that there are and all that there is, and it was all by accident. I have a lot more ease in believing that God, an intelligent creator, a wonderful and loving God, decided in His love and in His benevolence to begin all that there is. That makes way more sense to me than just accident. Have you ever created anything great out of accident? I mean, I've broken a lot of things on accident, but I have never created anything great on accident. I've never seen anything else in my world. I've never heard any recorded science explaining that something that never was before came into being all by accident, that it just so happened. I'm sure there's scientists somewhere that have taken swirling gases and put them in a chamber and swirled them around just to see if it would become something. And I'm guessing it's never happened. But God, our intelligent God, our wonderful, amazing, creating God, made all that there is. And the Bible bears witness to this for us. And it's amazing to think that all that there is came from nothing. Nothing. The earth, it says in Scripture, was formless and empty. And it was darkness. There was nothing. Nothing existed. And God took nothing and made something. That's important for us to understand. And so we're going to study these two things this morning. That God in the beginning created, and He created something out of nothing. The other thing that we're going to focus on that God does in our scripture passage this morning is that God brings order to chaos. So I want you to keep those two things in mind as we focus on God's word this morning. He makes something out of nothing, and God brings order out of chaos. As we think about that second one just a little bit, how many of you have felt like the world in which we live in the last couple of years is quite chaotic? Any of us felt that way? I see a few hands. A few of us are honest. I think the world has been chaotic the last couple of years. It seems like it's spinning out of control. Our world is filled with all kinds of difficulty. It's filled with darkness, and it affects how we live our lives. It's important for us to understand that in our world today, because of the darkness that exists, because of the brokenness, the chaos that exists, there are people that are living and dying without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, without the knowledge of God, not understanding who God is and not understanding God's love. And the chaos of pain, fear, and loneliness fills their hearts and lives, and everything around them simply becomes noise. So let's look at this first part that we're going to focus on about how God created something out of nothing. And then we'll get into order out of chaos. God first created, the Bible says, light. Why would God create light first? Any of you have any guesses? Why does God create light first? I mean, he could have created anything. I mean, God created everything, so why did God choose to create light? Now, I remember I had a pastor who I love. He's actually now a pastor in Michigan and runs a men's ministry and is starting a new church. And Pastor Kuiper, when I was in high school, would come into class and we'd be sitting there, usually in the dark because there were windows in our classrooms at my church, and so it was light enough that us kids would sit there and we'd talk, and Pastor would come in, he'd flip on the light, and he'd say, "And God said, let there be light," and it was fluorescent. Thanks, Pastor Kuiper. But he was reminding us that God spoke everything that there is into being. And why did God do that? Why did God create light first? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. The first one is quite obvious and probably needs no explanation. God created light because everything God was going to create next needs light to survive. We need light to survive as human beings. Plants need light. Animals need light. Everything needs light in order to survive. And so light was a foundational material in which God was going to create off of. So, of course, God, being very orderly and organized, would create the very first thing that was necessary for everything else to survive. But because God created light first, it symbolizes something for us that's very significant. Light symbolizes for us God's truth and God's righteousness and God's goodness and godliness. God changes, as we read here, the nothing, the darkness that existed, the void, the emptiness, and God creates something. And he changes the chaos, the void, the emptiness of this nothingness that existed, and he first makes light. And God brings light, and with it, God brings hope and goodness and love and order. All of these things God does because he wants to bless everything else that he makes. So first, God makes light because everything needs light to survive. But then also God makes light to show us the way so that we can live life effectively. Now God gives us a new beginning. If we think about that, the beginning of everything is the beginning or a fresh start. Well, what does that look like, practically speaking, in our lives today? All of us have experienced new beginnings or a fresh start in something, and essentially it's embarking on a new journey. But it's a different kind of journey. If we think about it in terms of Genesis chapter 1, God makes everything in Genesis chapter 1 new, right? Because it wasn't before. It's all brand new, brand spanking new, shiny, perfect. And before God created, there wasn't anything that existed. So here's this opportunity for everything God created being brand new, shiny, perfect. God gives us an opportunity then to begin. But then something happened. Sin came into the world. And what was shiny and new became tarnished and broken. And since that time, God has continued to give us, who He created and who He loves, the opportunity to be new again. God has decided to shed light into the darkness. Why does God shed light into the darkness? I think for a couple of reasons. So that we can see what's real and what is fake. As people, we have this tendency to go sometimes headlong into danger. We run headlong into darkness because, well, we want what we're going after, and we just become like singularly focused, and we don't realize maybe what's going on around us. And darkness isn't a good place for us to be in. It's not a safe place for us to be in because we can get in trouble. I want to share with you a story. Since today is Grandparents' Day, I have a story about my grandfather. This is my Grandpa Juergens. I was a little boy, and I loved to go visit my grandpa on the farm. And one day, they lived quite a ways away from us, about 3 hours away, and we went to visit Grandpa and Grandma. And one of the things that Grandpa was doing this particular day when I was just a little tiny boy was emptying out one of the grain bins on the farm. So it was probably about this time of year. He was emptying out the grain bin, and they were making some feed for the hogs that they had. And I was there by Grandpa, standing next to the bin, and I was watching the grain come out of the auger into the hopper so that it would go up into the auger and then into the grinder. And I was just standing there by the tractor and the auger, and I was watching that grain fall into that big plastic hopper that the other auger was running out of. And I was just enamored, and I always have been, by that kind of thing. And so I was just standing there watching the corn fall. And I thought, well, some of that corn's not going into the auger. And I thought, I maybe could help it along and just kind of push it. And I thought, yeah, I think I can do that. And I saw the auger spinning and the grain falling and the other auger spinning and the grain going up. And I thought, I can push that in there. And so I reached out my hand into that hopper by the auger. And just before I touched the plastic of that auger, my grandpa grabbed my arm and pulled it back and said, no, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. See, I didn't see the danger. I was in the dark. All I was focused on as that little boy was looking at that corn falling and thinking, well, gee, not all the corn is going in the auger. I probably should help that other corn so it can do what it's supposed to do. I was singularly focused. I didn't see the danger. I was running headlong into darkness. My grandfather, fortunately, lived in the light, and he saw that it was dangerous for his grandson to stick his hand where it didn't belong. And he snatched me out of danger. And so that's a picture for us this morning. Sometimes as people, we can run headlong into darkness and we don't see the danger that exists around us because we become so singularly focused on what we think we need to do. And thankfully, God is there to help us. Like my grandpa was there to help me and snatch my hand out of danger. Here's another story I want us to think about and how we sometimes don't see things clearly in the darkness. Have you ever been driving down the road at night and you see a patch of grass, tall grass in the ditch, and you kind of jerk a little bit because you think it's a deer? I see a few heads nodding. And then the next day you drive down that same road again and you see that patch of grass in the daylight and you're like, that wasn't a deer. And you feel a little silly. But things look different in the dark, don't they? We get nervous, we get scared, because we can't see things as clearly as what we can see them in the day. Under the cover of darkness, things might look okay to us. They even might look acceptable. But in the light, we can see things for what they really are. As an adult today, I would never stick my hand in the hopper in an auger. I know the danger that exists. In fact, I won't even wear a coat around a PTO shaft because I know the danger that exists. We have to understand that as we grow and as we learn, God is there guiding us and directing us. And Jesus has come to give us another opportunity to reveal to us God's truth, because God from the beginning has wanted what's best for you and I. Now let's look at the next part, God bringing order to chaos. You know, we witnessed something really amazing when you think about it in this story. God is creating love, or out of his love. Love is what replaces the chaos that existed before the earth was created. God is investing his love into what was formless and void. Think about it. There was nothing. And the Bible calls it chaos, and we know what chaos is. It's just unorganized, disorganized mess. There's nothing there. It's not good. Chaos is not good. And God interjects love into chaos, and he brings order. I want us to think about what that really looks like, what that really means. God said, you know, I don't have anything to love. I don't have anything to care about. I don't have anything to care for. And so I'm going to create. I'm going to make something out of nothing. And if you think about it, God created everything, and everything he created was perfect. It was good. And God still loves his creation. God has continued to care for his creation from the beginning of time. That's what God is doing. He is ridding the chaos, he's ridding the world of chaos and eradicating darkness and bringing the light of life. I want us to think about, why does God do all of that? Why did God create? Why did God desire to make something that he could love? Because God is love. Think about the foundational fact that God is love, and God created you and I and everything in the world with one purpose in mind: to love us. God created us to love us. I don't know if we understand how important that fact really is, people. We go through our daily lives and we get busy and we do stuff and we're running here and we're running there and we're doing this and we're doing that. Do we ever stop and think that God loves us? God loves us enough that he created us, that he's breathed life into us. I don't know what else could be more important for us to believe as human beings, as Christian men and women. And beyond all of that, even when we failed, and how many of us here have let God down in our life? I'm going to raise both hands, because I've probably had a double portion of letting God down. We've all let God down. God has every reason in the world to look at us and be incredibly disappointed in the choices that we've made. Because we have chosen not love, but we've chosen chaos over love. The choices that we made, the choices to sin, the choices to do what's wrong, are essentially us rejecting God's love and returning to the chaos that existed before anything existed. God says he still loves us in the midst of all of that. I know this to be true of all of us as well. Every single one of us here this morning has had somebody sin against us, haven't we? Probably even in the last few minutes, hours, right? Week. And when people sin against us, when they do something that we don't like, when they hurt our feelings, when they injure us in some way, what's our response to that, people? Do we get upset? Yeah, we get upset, don't we? Sometimes if it's really bad, we don't want to forgive them. We don't want to even be around them. We want to reject them. Now you think about that. God has every reason in the world to reject us, to not want to be around us, to be frustrated with us, to essentially destroy us. And what does God do? He sends Jesus. He sends Jesus to eradicate our choice for chaos, to take away the sin of the world. Does that shock any of us? Because, I mean, when people sin against me, when they hurt me deeply, I'm not sure that I want to forgive them all that quick. I'm not sure that I'd give up any of my kids to save them. God gives up himself. I'm not sure I'd run into a burning building for any of them, but God gives up himself. His son Jesus dies on the cross for our sin. Isn't God amazing? Love is what motivates God. And people, we live in a world in search of love. Deep inside of every human being, there is a desire to love and be loved. And God created us to love. Not only him, but each other. And because of sin, we become disconnected from one another and we become disconnected from God. And unfortunately, disconnected people try to fill their desire to love and be loved with all kinds of crappy things like drugs, alcohol, and you name it. Those don't fill it. There's nothing in this earth that can fill that void that we have for authentic love. Only God can fill that void. That's why we need to turn to Jesus. That's why we need to look to Jesus, because he's the one that is still is removing the chaos that's in our world and bringing the love of God's light into our lives. So on this particular Sunday, where we think about what new beginnings, new fresh starts, that we can be refreshed, rejuvenated, and reconnected and renewed. This new beginning we have as a church family, even denominationally speaking, after our vote last Wednesday night. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with what God is doing in our midst? What are we going to do? We got a world that's full of chaos. Have any of you noticed that this week? That it just seems like the chaos in our world ramps up day after day, week after week, moment after moment. It's almost like I'm wondering what the next thing is going to be out of whatever leader's mouth that I'm going to just not like. Any of you there with me? What are we going to do with that as a church? How do we combat that? How do we live differently? How do we take this fresh start that God gives us each and every day and make it into something more than what the world is trying to make it? The answer is pretty clear. We need to turn to God, not get angry, not get frustrated, not get down, not be cross, but to really live in God's love. To live in joy, to live in hope, to live in peace, to make a difference in the lives of our neighbors, in our communities, and the people that live around us. to really engage in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to take advantage of the opportunities that God lays before us to be a light in this world. Now, I don't know about you, I'm like a little candle with a tiny wick, right? I don't feel like I shed all that much light all of the time. But if you put a candle with a tiny wick in a dark room, you'd be amazed at what you can see. So let's not get down that, well, we aren't the best and the brightest, or we aren't the greatest light in the world. We're not like this massive light that some of these young people put on the fronts of their cars that blind us when we're driving down the road at night. We're not those kind of lights. That's okay. God says, I can use any light in the world. And we've got to be that light. God is calling us to be that light. Anybody can be darkness. Anybody can be chaos. And you know what? The other good news is that anybody who has a life filled with darkness and chaos in their past can be made light in Jesus Christ. So we have an opportunity, folks. What are we going to do with it today? It's a new beginning. It's a new hope. It's a new joy. It's a new life. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this amazing opportunity that you give to us. Help us to live in your light, the light you created at the very beginning of the world, and knowing that that light is where we draw our inspiration and our hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to